Again, thank you for being here on a Sunday afternoon. This is Sunday evening service for our family as well, so we're glad to be with you on Sunday afternoon today. Praise the Lord. Happy for your opportunity to assemble here and all the work and effort and energy you've been putting into it. God bless you for your efforts and your faithfulness. We love Gospel Light Baptist Church. We love Pastor and Mrs. Johnston and family, and have a lot of memories together serving the Lord in this region through many years now. So that's a great joy. Luke 17, we're going to jump right in. I know you've been busy, and so we're going to jump right in and give you a truth today. I hope that will be a help. I know it will be if you receive it. Stay seated for sake of time. Luke 17, 1 through 5, we're going to read here. I'll read the first verse. You help me on the second verse, every other verse. And then I'll read one very familiar verse to us secondarily as our second text passage also, please. I'll read verse 1. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. Verse number 2, would you read out loud with me? Ready? Here we are. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. I believe that one of these little ones is speaking of twofold, two natures there. Number 1, the little ones of the children. Don't hurt the little ones. They're precious to God. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Don't hurt the children. We live in a very hurtful society to our little ones. And we need to guard them. We need to love them. We need to care for them. Secondarily, I think the teaching is here about the little ones in Christ. How often Jesus, in 1 John, refers to his own as my little children. And especially for new converts, new in Christ, God says, hey, you older Christians, you be careful. You don't hurt those new converts. You don't tread upon them hardly. You nurture them, admonish them, be good to them. So I think both our young physically and our young and new spiritually, God gives a warning about, hey, you be careful that you don't offend them, you don't hurt them. Let's continue. I'll read verse 3. Very important little statement here, 4 words. Take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourselves. We're going to look at that more here in a bit. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. Verse 4, let's read. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Verse 5, and the apostle said unto him, unto the Lord, rather, increase our faith. They're thinking about that. Man, if I've got some brother that did the same stupid thing to me 7 times in a day, I'm to correct him on it, say, hey, that wasn't right. And then if he says, oh, man, I'm sorry about that, I was wrong, then I'm to say, I forgive you. Let's press on. Let's be right with one another. And so the disciples are hearing the Lord teach this, and the Lord says, if he trespasses against you 7 times in a day and does the same dumb offense, then you be willing to forgive him. And the disciples said this, Lord, increase our faith. Amen. Increase our faith. May we pray. May we jump into a message. Hey, just before we go, Psalm 119, 165. Many of you could quote it. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I want to talk to us today about this matter. Father, bless, we pray, in these minutes that we have. Thank you for your promise. You said where 2 or 3 are gathered together in your name, there you are, yea, here you are in the midst of us. We cling to that promise, believe it to be so, and pray right now you just fine-tune us, Lord, and help us for the offenses that shall come in the days ahead of us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to jump right in. Let me put my glasses on so I can see. I'll tell you a few funny stories in a bit to keep your attention. I know it's Sunday afternoon and you just ate, and I think there's a connection. Full belly, heavy eyelids. There's a connect right there. Amen. And so we'll be brief. I'll let you laugh at me in just a little bit. All right. That'll keep your attention. But for the next few minutes, I want to help us serve the Lord faithfully for a lifetime. Now, we don't all have the same amount of life ahead of us. And that doesn't depend upon the age that we are. That depends on the purpose of God for our life. Many of us have many days ahead, God willing. The Lord coming will call us home to heaven. I've often said I'd rather go by the uppertaker than the undertaker. Amen. I'd rather go by the sound of the trump. But one day we all will pass from this life. Until that day, God has given us this life to serve Him, to make it count for the cause of Christ. Nothing else matters. Let's not get so bogged down in the physical, temporal things of life that we miss the purpose of God, the call of God to live unto His glory. But I don't want to just live for Christ for a little while. I was saved when I was 13. I was called to preach when I was 14. Started my life as a 14-year-old preacher boy after God dealt with my heart. I won't go into the story. But now it's been a few years ago that I was saved. A few years ago now that I surrendered to preach. It was a few years ago now that God led us to Canada to start the church there in London. But I don't want to serve God just for a while. I don't want to serve God just for a decade or two. I want to serve God faithfully for a lifetime. I want to be a finisher, a faithful finisher. And what I'm going to give us today, know what God's Word gives us today, is going to just be a help to us to grab a hold of a truth. I shared this with our folks last Sunday night, kept it, believed the Lord had had me share it today, and so I'm going to get it to it. One of the greatest reasons people cease serving the Lord is because they become offended. Something was done that offended them. Something was misunderstood that offended them. Yea, watch it, Bible truth was preached that rubbed them the wrong way. And instead of repenting toward God's truth, they become offended by that truth. And so I'm trying to help us today serve the Lord faithfully for a lifetime. And one of the greatest reasons people cease serving the Lord is because they become what, everybody? Offended. I can't hear you. They become what? Offended. Don't yell at me. I'll get offended. Stop it already, eh? Yeah, because they become offended. Hurts arise. We will go through times that we are hurt. Somebody being in the ministry, and by the way, every one of us have been called to be in the ministry because all of us are a part of the same body, as was well preached this morning. We are a part of the body of Christ as believers serving the Lord through this church. You are a body unto the Lord, and God wants to do His work through you. And as you minister and as you give yourself to minister for the cause of Christ and with Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, excuse me. This tie's choking me. There we go. Amen. In the power of the Holy Spirit of God, there will come times that you will be used. There will even be times you feel like you've been abused, if I may say so. But hurts will arise. Mistreatments will occur. Hey, watch this one. Here comes a monster that likes to bring offense. Unappreciation can be felt. Well, you can get busy doing things like the church that you have and all the labor that there are. And I know about it. I've been there as well. My son Jack asked me the other day, yesterday, when we were tearing down, Dad, you had to do all this too? And I said, yeah, you've kind of forgot about it some, haven't you? Because it's been some years ago. And he said, yeah, I don't really remember all the setting up and the tearing down. But yeah, we've been there. We've done that. We understand that. And if you're not careful, all the things that you do, some of you folks buzzed out the door after service and headed back there and started prepping the food and getting it out. And as soon as the food was done, some of you jumped in and started putting tables down and chairs down. And if we're not careful in all the to-dos and the helps that we do, we can feel like somebody is not noticing all the effort that I'm putting in, and we can feel unappreciated. And at times we can even be unappreciated. And if we're not careful, we can let an offense come in. Stay with me. Unappreciation can be felt. Mistreatments will occur. Hurts shall arise. And all too often, somebody chooses, key word, somebody chooses to become offended. Regardless of the offense that comes my way, the hurt that is sent my way, I still have a decision. Michael, if you were to fuss me, you've been so kind to me, and he's been an encouragement to me, just his smile and his handshakes and just the time we've had for a little bit. But if tomorrow I were to see Michael, and I don't think I will, but if tomorrow I were to see Michael and He fussed me one side and cussed me out right to my face. I don't think you do that, I hope, amen. But if he fussed me up one side, down the other, and cussed me out right to my face, even though he did something offensive toward me, does not mean I have to allow it to be offensive to me. Do you understand the difference, right? And so I'm the one that is making the final choice about whether to become offended by a hurt, by a circumstance. And so again, what I said, let me read it right. All these will arise, and all too often somebody chooses to be offended. People leave churches because they have become offended. People quit church altogether because they've been offended. And so I want to talk to us here today about it. Bible says in Proverbs 18, verse 19, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Here's a little statement for you. Offendedness always produces contentiousness. When we become offended at somebody or something, then we become contentious toward that person or toward that circumstance or toward that church in the setting that I'm using a little bit. We must work hard to not purposefully be offensive. Let me again reiterate that. We must be diligent to not be offensive. Let me say this. Be careful in our jesting and our teasing with one another. I like having fun. I like poking jokes. I don't mind making fun of myself. That's all good and fun. You're going to dish it out, then take it on too. Amen. But we need to be careful about our making fun of people, because making fun of people can become very hurtful and offensive. And so we're not to. And usually, when people are trying to make fun and whatnot, they're trying to make themselves look good at somebody else's expense, and that's not right. That's not good. We must work hard not to be purposefully offensive. But let me flip the coin now. Just as much, and yea, if not even more so, we need to work diligently in our own hearts and lives. Take heed to yourselves, we read just a minute ago, to not become offended. You've all heard the don't walk around with a chip on your shoulder thing, right? If I put that phone there and I walk around. Now, some are just walking around with a chip on your shoulder, and everybody who bumps you, it falls off and you get upset. Then there are others who are walking around bumping into people, hoping it'll fall off so you can get upset. That's no good way to live life. That's a very miserable way to live life. Take heed to yourself. Don't become one who is easily offended. And yea, let's go beyond that. And in God's Holy Spirit and in obedience to God's command, let's learn to be ones who just won't become offended. Okay? So, the word offended, what does it mean? The word offended means this: occasions to stumble. To be offended means here is a spot at which I can stumble. Here is a slippery spot in the road that I can easily take offense and lose my bearing and lose my balance and be wiped out for the cause of Christ. Luke 17 fully warns us that offenses will come. They will come. Let me again read it here in our setting. And then said he, Jesus, to the disciples, "It is impossible. There is no exceptions, if you will. They will come to you," that offenses will come. "But woe to him through whom they come." And again, we looked at it very specifically. It was talking about the interaction with the little children. And God said, hey, you don't offend those little ones. And yes, the new Christian, hey, you don't offend those little ones or those new ones in Christ. But God is telling us that the offenses will come. And when they do come, take heed to yourself not to let these offenses offend you. We'll come back to that. Though offenses will come, we need not to and need to guard against becoming offended ones. May I help us with our relations of people? Always remember, the best of people are still people at best. No matter who the person is and the goodness that they do and the goodness that they are, there'll be sometimes they blow it. As a husband, I try to love my wife and honor her and take care of her, but there are times I blow it. As a pastor, there are times that though I love our people, and though I love the Lord and want to honor the Lord and I want to be faithful to Christ, there are times I blow it. I'm not the pastor I should be. As a Christian, there's times I blow it. But folk, listen to me. The best of people are still people at best. Did you know everybody has bad days sometimes? Be gracious to people. Don't just because they come in and they're off a little bit, don't write them off completely. Be patient, long-suffering, merciful, gracious to people. Aren't you glad God is long-suffering, merciful, patient to you? Amen. And let us be gracious and Christ-like to others as well. You know what? There are times that people just don't have a bad day. There are times people just do things that are dumb. Amen. Anybody ever been in a place you just done some dumb stunt? Amen. You said something stupid and then you went, "Oh, I shouldn't have said that. That ought not have been." Amen. Yeah. There's husbands and wives. You know it. Yeah. Amen. I've been there, done that. Amen. You said something and you went, "Bum, bum, bum, bum." That did not help anything. Amen. Yes, indeed. And so, folks, listen, there are going to be times, you know, people sometimes will do something that is offensive, not even trying to. They had no intention for it to be offensive or hurtful. And then there's other times that people will do something with every intent in the world to try to hurt you. Have you ever heard it called button pushing? They'll try to push that button because they like to see you go, "Ah, amen." They like to see the reaction. Amen. Hey, at times everyone can and everyone sometime will do something offensive and hurtful. Take heed to thyself, Luke 17 said. Take heed to thyself that you don't get offended, or the title of the message today, take heed to thyself that you don't get off-ended. Don't get off-ended. My boys and I were out the other day and we saw some guy in the park. He had a rope. It wasn't really a rope, but a strap is what I'm looking for. And he had it tied to one tree over here in the park, and over this way he had it tied to another. And he had as tight taunt as he could, and he made that thing a balancing rope, a tight rope. That's what I'm looking for. And so he took that thing, and he was walking the park. Now, because of his weight, it was doing a great big dip, you know. If it was me, it'd have been 6 foot under the ground, amen. But anyway, but he was out there, and he was doing this balancing act. I mean, he's out in the middle of the park between these trees, and he's doing this, and he's doing all these squats, and he's trying to practice. And I'm like, "Dude, man, I could never do that." But you know what? Just one little off ending on that tightrope, and what's going to happen to him? Off he's going to come, right? And as a Christian, we're not just to be going through life like this, waiting for every little potential that offends us. Now, I'm here on this platform edge, and if I get off-ended to my right, I've got a fall ahead. Correct? And many a Christian are falling out of the work of God, falling out of church, falling away from productivity for the cause of Christ because we become off-ended. Another word for off-ended is we lose our balance. Balance is a very key need in the life of the Christian, in the life of every person. A proper balance. Now, let me press on here and finish things up. The title of my message is Don't Get Off-Ended. Balance is a key factor to successful, faithful Christian living. Thus, it is important that we be not or get not off-ended. Have you ever been off-ended, thrown off balance? It can cause pain, just like coming off that platform. It can cause embarrassment. Has there ever been a time you've been off-ended and it was kind of embarrassing in front of everybody? Yeah, we'll talk about it. Getting off-ended can be disastrous, amen? Yeah, sure can. And may I say, for the Christian that becomes off-ended in the work of God, in the purpose of God, we become off-ended because we're bearing our feelings on our shoulder and somebody rubbed us the wrong way and we become off-ended. It will bring pain. It will hurt. It will cause impact in more than just our life and our discomfort. It will cause a embarrassment. Yes, more for than just ourselves, but the cause of Christ, and it'll cause disaster. I can remember a few occasions. I'll tell them to you. I remember one time, just a young pastor brother, we got here to Canada, started the church. We were still living up on the north end of town. It hit winter. It was somewhere January, February. Could have been our very first winter of the church. We started in October. We had no children. We had no children for the first many years of our marriage, as God did not allow us to have children in the early days. So it's my wife and I. We had gotten a good snow, and it had iced over. And so I pulled the van up to the curbside of the townhouses we lived in at the time, went back into the townhouse, got a few last things. I'd already got my wife into the car, came back up the sidewalk. I got her in the passenger side on the curb. Then I went back in, locked down, got things, headed out. And then I had a pair of Stacy Adams shoes. I don't know if that means anything to you guys, but I had a pair of these kind of pin-nosed, fancy, shiny, leather-bottom, Stacy Adam dress shoes. In those days, I wanted to look good instead of feel good, I guess. I don't know. Those things kill me now. But anyway, I had these fancy shoes on, and I'm going out, new pastor, my young bride, going to the service that day, looking all decker and good to go in my Stacy Adam shoes, man. And I stepped off the curb, and unbeknownst to me, there was a sheet of ice in front of the Toyota Previa that we drove in those days. And when I stepped down on the curb, I got off-ended, brother. My foot hit, and my foot and feet went that away, and the rest of me went that away, and boom, right on my back, man. Right in front of the car, brother. Brother Abraham, man, flat on my back. I got off-ended. But I was young in those days, so I bounced back up. I don't bounce up so good today, amen. But I bounced back up, good to go. And I expected to see my wife looking over the dashboard going, "Oh, precious, are you okay?" I look back up over there, and she's going, laughing her full, not full head, but laughing her head off, amen. Yeah, indeed. But I got off-ended. And you know what the first thing you usually do when you take a wipe out like that is? What's the first thing you usually do? Did anybody see that? Why? Because getting off-ended is a little bit embarrassing, huh? Yeah, yeah. But, you know, getting off-ended can be more than just embarrassing. It can be very painful. We're still living on that side of town, and I've always liked to bike. I lived out in the country when I was young, so I did a lot of biking out in the country. And I still try to bike pretty regularly now, not as diligently as I should, but I try. I like to mountain bike sometimes, not vigorously mountain biking, because I can't take vigorous mountain biking, but I like to do it. But in that day, again, I was still in my late 20s probably then, and there was this trail, bike trail, and it went through some pretty good hills on that side of town over by the ravine and the creek that runs through there, Medford Creek. And I had biked and crossed the ravine and went over to the top, and then it dead-ended. So I brought my bike back down the hill toward the ravine. And boy, I was going good, feeling impressed, you know. I'm in fit, you know, and doing good. But I come down toward the ravine, and there's a bunch of rocks there and stuff. So I grabbed the brake in order to slow my pace down as I was coming into the water that was at the bottom. And what I did, unfortunately, is I grabbed the front brake instead of the rear brake. Anybody have an idea what might have happened? Yeah, I'm coming down the hill, right? Yeah, exactly right, Brother Tim. My back end tipped over the top of my end, and I went over the top of the handlebars into the creek, amen. And I got soaking wet. Thank God it was a summer day. But anyway, I got offended as I hit the wrong handle, came over the top into the creek, and again, rode my bike home, opened the door. My wife, "What happened to you?" Amen. And then of all things, was my mother-in-law there that day? Was she there that day? She was either there or she learned about it, so she still brings that one up too. But anyway, don't get offended. I've been offended ever since that day, I tell you what. No, but don't get offended. When I was in Bible college working, I worked landscaping, and we're putting some very big spruce trees into a man named Mr. I think it was Welsh or Walsh. He owned a lot of the convenience store, grocery store, not groceries, but gasoline stations out in that whole area. Now they have all the Luke stations there, but it was Welsh. And Mr. Welsh owned all of those places. And we landscaped his personal home in this big fancy subdivision on a lake. So like usual, when you go to water, you got a descending hill that comes into the water zone. And so he lived in this big house there, and we were planting these big pines. And so, you know, they'd get these pines out of the tree farms with those big tree spades, dig them out, then they will burlap the dirt and the roots, and then they'll put a cage over them. And so we were working with these big trees and had a Kubota tractor. And because we were coming down this hill, we knew we had to be careful with it, and I and another fellow were working. So we would back the tractor down the hill. We would tie the wired cage of the ball of the tree into the bucket and then chain it down so it would stay in its area. And we had done several of them like that. And as you came down the hill, then you would kind of veer in to make this hedge of trees that we were planting there. And we had done several of them with no problem.
Well, we came to this other one, and everything was going fine and whatnot. But as I came backward down the hill with the Kubota, and I angled in toward the next hole we had dug for this big spruce, somehow the chain slipped, and it let that big ball of that tree shift from the top of the bucket now down to the bottom end of the bucket, which was gravity. And so that big weight shifted from the top end, which was balancing the tractor, down to the bottom end, and all of a sudden just kicked it. And Brother Johnston, I had to jump off that thing because that tractor rolled. And praise God, I was able to get out of the way, and it had a roller bar on it. But that was potentially very, very dangerous because it took an off-ended turn, an offended circumstance. Sometimes circumstances of life can offend us, and it can become very hazardous because we become bitter. We quit. Hey, take heed to thyself, the scripture says. Don't be offended. We were having a camp outing with some of the young people. I'll tell you one more story, and then I'll give you some apps, and we're done. We just had a Teens Alive camp outing at the campground a week ago, Friday, Saturday. We finished our Teen Alive season, and so we took, 20 of us in total, I think, were there, so 17 young people. And we stayed at the Harvesters camp and used their facility for it. So they had the canoes like your pastor was talking about. And we went down there. Some got canoeing, and it's Saturday morning. Some of them knuckleheads decided to jump into the pond, and they were teasing each other. It started with throwing water off the paddles at each other. Savannah stole one of the guy's hats, and then he started splashing water at him, and then they got another one of our girls, Gabby, soaking wet. And so she just ended up jumping into the pond, and the two guys, JR and Rain, who were initially throwing the paddle, Gabby decided to go after them. They were in the canoe out in the middle of the pond. And so she went after them and started rocking that boat, man. The boys crying out like girls, amen. Oh, don't do that, amen, stop it. And they got rocking a boat, and they took the paddle and were trying to chase her away. And then finally she got behind them, and instead of trying to tip the boat, she got on the back end of the boat and jumped out of the water and put her weight on it to where it could start turning that boat backward. And then the water started flooding in, amen. And so in slow motion, you saw the boat go, and then the boat disappeared out from underneath them because she sank the boat, amen. Now, we did get the boat out, but she sank it from underneath them, and they're out there floating around like this. What happened? They got offended. By what? Gabby the shark, amen. Yes, indeed. And another one, God bless her, an Indian young girl that comes to our church. She's not saved yet, Diksha. Vishal, her boyfriend, has come to our church for a while, and they met in college. But anyway, she came out, and she was bound and determined not to get wet. I mean, she was in a canoe, and she and Vishal had been canoeing. And long story short, Vishal had bailed out. He jumped out. She was left in it. She went across. Somebody went and pulled her back across. And she was so close to getting safely out of the boat without getting wet. But when the boat got to the shore, she was at the back of the boat. So she took a first step, and that caused the canoe to move this way. Then she took a second step, and that caused the canoe to go this way. And then she leaped for the shore. And she almost made it, except she hit the little pinnacle that now folks have been coming in and out, and it turned to mud instead of that way. And her face went into the muddy shore of the ground. And she just went and stayed there for a little bit later. Then she got up, and the mud was all over her face. And then Michelle grabbed her and baptized. Anyway, you know, of all things she will remember of the whole trip, it'll be getting offended when she landed right on her face in that muddy slope of the creek. Offenses, sometimes they can be very embarrassing. Can I encourage you something? Don't get offended. How do we get offended? Too many times we become offended because we become off-ended. We start putting our focus too much on that hurt that came. We put our focus too much on somebody else got the recognition and I didn't get recognized, and we get offended. We become offended when circumstances of life come and like a storm upon the sea begin to shift our boat to and fro, and we're toiling and we're struggling, and if we're not careful, we get offended. Quick observations and I'm done. 2 minutes. Here they are. I just state them. Number one. Let me warn of some potential off-ending times to take heed to ourselves about. By the way, what is the key to not becoming offended? I need to tell you this. The key to not become offended is a right relationship with God's Word. Because again, remember our Psalms 119, 165, great peace of they which what? Love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And by the way, that's not a verse to quote to somebody when you've been rude and offensive to them, and you've done them bad, and then you go, great peace of they which love thy law, brother, and nothing shall offend them. No, that's not spiritual. Spiritual is not doing something to offend them to start with. Amen. Be good to people. Be good to everybody, because everybody's having a tough time. The Hiles used to say that often when he'd end his radio broadcast day after day. Be good to everybody, because everybody's having a tough time. You don't know what somebody's going through. Let's be good to people. Be good to people. A right relationship with the Word of God. Great peace have they which love thy law, nothing shall offend them. And then what was the disciples' response when Jesus said, if they do it seven times, the same stupid thing, seven times in the same day, if they'll repent of it, and if they'll say, I'm sorry, then you forgive them. And what was the disciples' response? Lord, increase our what? Faith. What is faith? Faith is our relation with God's Word. Faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So increase our faith. Okay? Now, here they are. Some potential off endings that can arise to knock us for a loop. Okay, number one, I'm just going to read these. Number one, mistreatments and misunderstandings. We can become offended or off-ended because of mistreatments and misunderstandings. May I say to us, let us be careful, diligently careful, to not be mistreating or misunderstanding. And then let me say this, let us then, when somebody does mistreat or misunderstand, take heed to ourselves to not become off-ended about it. Okay, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater, is the old cliche. Because somebody did you wrong somewhere, don't throw all the other good out the window because of the hurt that they did. Maybe thoughtlessly or maybe purposefully. Don't throw it all out because of a one occasion. Okay? Be careful what you say to people. Crazy things people can say. You know, somebody can come into church and somebody says something like this, you don't look so good today. And here's somebody that just got all ready, put their clothes on, did their makeup, and they hustled and bustled in the door, and the greeting they get is, you don't look very good today. You know, well, good. Thanks a lot. You don't look so good yourself. Amen. You know, and that can be offensive. But if somebody is offensive because they don't think, don't become offended. All right? That haircut looks like somebody just took a weed whip to your head, buddy. That's a good potential. It's not going to edify the brother or the sister. Amen. You know what? Here's one I've heard somebody say to some of our church members. God bless your heart. But you're always late. You always come in late. How about, we're just glad you came in. It's sure good to see you today. Those things don't edify. To not off-end, to not be off-ended, return grace for rudeness. Return forgiveness for offense. Here they are. Three more just saying, I'm preaching. I'm done. Critics and criticism. That's another area that off-endedness can arise. A loss of balance. A fall to demise when critics and criticisms come. Something I was taught years ago that I learned and I try to apply, treat praise and criticism the same. Just forget them both. Forget them both. If we're not careful, we can take applauses to our head and we can get offended this way. And if we're not careful, we can take the criticisms and offend it this way. And it can knock us down this way. What we got to do is learn how to walk Bible word circumspectly. On balance. On purpose. Don't get what? Depart not to the left hand, nor to the right hand. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Circumstances and change is number three. You can become offended by. Off-ended. Don't get offended. Circumstances can change. Loss of a job. Poorness of health, an accident arises, an abandonment comes, and those changes and those hurts can offend you. But I want to tell you something, if we become offended by the changes of circumstances and situations, all we're doing is putting salt on the wound. All we're doing is bringing further hurt and detriment to the hurt that we're already going through. Folk, if we got to go through some trials and some hurt, shall we not just make them count for good? Shall we not let God be glorified through them? And the way to do so is to not be offended. Great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. Last thing is this, and here we've got to be careful, and I finish. What is it that can cause us to become offended? I said mistreatments and misunderstandings. I said critics and criticisms. I said circumstances and change. And the last one, strengths and issues can offend. Strengths and issues. I close, I shut my Bible, but I used this illustration the other night. I can't do it anymore, but if I can take this one arm and lift up a 100-pound dumbbell, I've been sewed together with a wire on my chest so I don't have that strength across here. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take a simple challenge here today and help us to be a people that are balanced with Christ-likeness. When offenses come, may we know how to give balance of grace and offset the hurts with help. And Lord, when mistreatments arise, to learn to do good to those who have despitefully used us. This is Bible living. Lord, help us not to be offended. Most of all, help us never to be an embarrassment or shame or loss to the glory of God that you are worthy of. Help us not to do hurt.